Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Raiders Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week.
Why are you enunciating so much?
I'm Daniel. You're Nathan.
And this is NPR.
We are brothers. We're about to listen to some smooth jazz.
Oh, gross. Don't ever do that again. I'm not going to listen to this episode because you did that.
How's it going, Nathan?
Pretty good. I was on the way over here and I like did that thing where I like...
But we start with the news.
I leave the Matrix for like a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And then I come back in and I've been driving for 20 minutes and I was like, I don't remember a single thing that just happened 20 minutes ago.
I used to do that with like work whenever work was like far, like over like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You like zone out and it's insanely dangerous.
It is so weird.
Yeah.
Like I'm pretty sure I was in full control. But maybe I do that when I
drive
out.
Yeah. I do that when I drive to your house or mom's house because it's like basically 30 minutes from here.
You know? And it's just kind of like straight most of the time. And then you do like a couple turns. But yeah, it's fucked up. So that's what happened to me. And I'm
glad you made it.
I hope I'll do the same thing today.
On the way home.
During this podcast.
Okay. Sometimes it kind of feels like that. We like go and then before you know it, it's like over, you know?
Yeah. Someone who listens asked me what I thought about White Lotus because I had mentioned it. And I was like, how do you know I'm watching White Lotus? But like
you,
I knew.
What do you mean?
I'd like take a step back and be like, what the fuck are they talking about? Yeah. You know, we start with the news. We have a couple other time codes, including the book that we're reading this week, which is It's Lonely at the Center of the Earth, which is an Eisner nominated book. Soon to be awarded, I think.
Probably.
We have the back matter. Tune in for that. It's going to be real exciting. And then the poll list. But Daniel, we're going to start with the news.
Nathan, lots of news. Image is joining DC in a deal with Lunar Distribution. Dogs aren't happy about it.
The dogs are not happy, no.
They're like, new comic book day is Wednesday, and it's always Wednesday.
It's always going to be Wednesday. Marvel needs to print more of those weird covers where it's like Marvel Comics on sale Wednesday.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's... They're still going to be with Diamond.
Really? I didn't read like, that kind deeply. Of,
but yeah, they're going with Penguin Random House. No, wait.
Lunar,
sorry. But yeah, that's kind of crazy.
So their books will be available on Tuesdays. And so it's basically just Marvel and then other indie publishers that are on Diamond still.
But I'm still going to go on Wednesday, you know, because I want to get everything.
Yeah, if anything, yeah.
If Marvel goes, even if Marvel did go Tuesday.
It's still like Boom still like and Dark Horse.
Dark Horse, Boom, yeah, all that shit I'm reading. So
yeah, we've kind of tough. Expanded our horizons.
Yeah, I'm just going to keep it to Wednesday just because that's easier.
I'm going to stick to Saturday still, probably.
Yeah, see, that's even better for you.
Doesn't affect me, but I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was crazy.
Yeah, the big news. Very exciting.
What's going on?
We're getting a Bullet Train 2.
I did hear about that. That's Brad crazy.
Brad Pitt's going on another Bullet Train.
He's going on a train. he's going to be like, man, remember that thing I did where I killed all those men on this train?
Here's the actual like wreck on this train that I was in.
Probably multiple trains.
I'm not going to have any trauma or fear of trains from now on. I'm just going to go on another train.
Maybe he will.
Yeah.
I guess
Angelina, that also has to do with work.
Angelina Jolie?
Uh-huh.
That was who showed up at the end? Oh, Sandra Bullock maybe?
Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
That'd be wild if it's Angelina Jolie.
I get those two mixed up. So they're like one and the same for me. Probably.
Okay.
What was the last thing Angelina Jolie was in?
She was in a movie called
Salt.
They Never Find Me or
Those
Who Want to Hurt Me or something. It was like a Taylor Sheridan movie. I don't know. He's like one of my favorite movie writers. Like he's the only one I know by name because of how many good movies he had in a row.
He writes or directs?
He's a writer. He doesn't really direct. So he like wrote like Yellowstone, Sicario.
Oh, okay.
Wind River, things like that. Hell or High Water, if you've seen that. A lot of good shit.
Yeah.
But his latest one was this one where Angelina Jolie is in like a burning forest. And I don't know if anyone saw it. I didn't see it. But I have to look at what it is. But that was like...
that was the last thing she was in.
That was like 2-3 years ago.
Okay, anyway. Well, Sandra Bullock's going to be more involved, I guess, in Bullet Train 2. That's all I saw.
I mean, they both were it's been a minute since they've been in stuff, you know?
Yeah, like, exactly.
Those Who Wish Me Dead in 2021. My bad.
Oh, that's a cool name.
Ah, she's in fucking Eternals, dude.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
I guess.
That's a good point. Daniel, other news. Mortal Kombat is coming out with Mortal Kombat 1. Okay, it was 11 was the last one.
Is this like between last week and this week, this news?
I told you about it already.
We haven't spoken about it.
It was between when we last recorded. But yeah, Mortal Kombat 1 is going to be coming out. Mortal Kombat is a comic book, so that would be comic book news. But it's even more comic book news because Peacemaker from the DC is going to be in it. Homelander from The Boys is going to be in it. And there's rumors that Omni-Man is also going to be in it as
well. Aren't those all rumors?
No. Peacemaker is confirmed. Homelander, I'm pretty sure, is confirmed. I don't know about Omni-Man. It seems a bit weird to have two evil Supermen, but...
Yeah. And Omni-Man should body Homelander every time.
Yeah. And like Scorpion and all that.
Like so, everybody, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. So, I thought that was interesting.
Very.
Pretty cool.
Do you want to read another Mortal Kombat comic when that comes back around?
Because maybe.
We read one and it was something.
It was a book.
There's a lot of lore. It was kind of cool.
Yeah.
It was lore I didn't know, but like...
Why did we read it? Oh, that was the game comic book too, wasn't it? We read like Mortal Kombat X.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they do one, we'll read it.
Maybe. Anyway.
I wonder if they did an 11. Anyway.
Nay, the new book coming from Image called The Sacrificers. By Rick Remender.
That sounds like is that a word? Sacrificers? I guess it would be.
Yep. People those who sacrifice,
that,
Nathan.
Those that sacrifice, and there's plural of them. Okay. Yeah.
And then you click on the link to the root word sacrifice if you want to learn more.
Okay.
Rick Remender, Max Fiumara, coming in August 2nd.
Okay.
I wrote 8 too. I'm like, what the fuck is 8?
I could never figure out what 8 is. I get 8 and 9 mixed up.
Hardest month.
Yeah. That's cool.
I don't know. Oh, go ahead.
Daniel, there's been some Eisner drama.
Ooh, baby mama drama?
Yeah, there's a book.
It's been snubbed.
No. Okay, so the book is called Francis Rothbart, and there's like a subtitle thing. It's really long. And it's from Fantagraphics. The author or creator of the comic is named Thomas Woodruff. And when that was announced in the Eisners, there was a lot of people that went to SVA, whatever that means, some sort of art school, that came out and they were like, this dude hates comics. Like, he would specifically try and get people to not make comic books. And it's like people that are in the industry today, like Jen Bartel took his class and like she almost quit because of him.
Oh, so the guy who wrote this book,
the guy that
he's
wrote,
a teacher.
He's a teacher at SVA. He made a comic book.
What's he teach?
I don't know. The art.
Comics? Okay. So
not comics, but it like some sort of art class. And he was like, comics sucked or not art.
My friend do not took make them. Like a graphic novel course at some college he went to. I'm like, what?
I would like to just figure out like what time that happens and then like just sit in.
Just go. Yeah, it's like a podcast. Live podcast.
But yeah, apparently this guy was like super shitty. Now he like made a book, which is pretty hypocritical, I guess. And now he's getting an Eisner nomination for it. And so a bunch of people came out. I just thought it was interesting.
So
because there's so many people.
That means everyone who like votes will probably like vote against him so he doesn't win.
Yeah, he probably.
I bet he made it in like out of spite. Like being like, anyone could do this or some shit.
He probably did it to be like, well, let me make it so that it's good. And I saw a couple pages and it's pretty solid.
Because
It's not like panels, it's just like every page is kind of like a splash, but there's like panels in the environment or whatever.
Okay.
It seems okay. But
did he do the art?
Yeah.
Oh,
other people I saw complain. Durf back Durf, I follow him on Twitter now. He's the guy that made My Friend Dahmer.
Yeah,
he was also chiming in. But I thought Jen Bartel was crazy.
That's a big one.
Like I was like, yeah, that's a huge one. Imagine she just like stopped making comics because of this guy,
right?
Imagine how people he made. Like he
quit.
We made
that we could have loved.
Yeah, exactly. So I just thought it was interesting.
That is very interesting.
And then Fantagraphics and Thomas Woodruff came out with a
statement.
Did not even acknowledge anything about that at all. I can't even remember what the statement was because it was just nothing.
Oh, we're so excited about the Eisners. We make books.
Yeah, it was like the article was like Fantagraphics and Thomas Woodruff respond.
Fight back.
Apparently he sucks. People are comparing him to the guy from Whiplash, which which I think is funny. But at least JK he Rowling? Likes. Did you say J.K. No. Rowling?
J.K. Simmons.
J.K. Simmons, yeah. But at least J.K. Simmons' character likes jazz, you know? This is a guy that would be like that guy, but he's trying to get people to stop doing jazz.
Yeah.
Because he hates jazz kind of deal. But anyway, I thought that was interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Nathan, I don't know if we've talked about this before, but I listened to a podcast with Ram V.
And, oh, cool.
He's on Off Panel this last week.
Very cool.
He's talking about his new book, Rare Flavors, that is with his Layla Stark collaborator, Felipe Andrade.
Ooh.
Coming August 16th from Boom.
This is amazing news.
It's great to hear. It's
Was Layla Stark from Boom as well?
Yes.
Oh, all good news.
And
keep all the variables the same and just do more. That's what I'd say.
Yeah. And it's a book about Indian cuisine with a supernatural element.
Dude, that's going to be so cool.
it's going to be so bizarre.
Oh my God. I can't wait to see some cuisine.
Apparently like food manga is like a really big genre. And I'm just really excited to see that and like
translated to
just American North comic American books comics, to see how they do that. You know,
that sounds awesome. It's going to be like a little cuisine. It's got a little ghost face on it.
I'm going to get it and then show Sarah because she fucking loves Indian food. I'm like, look, that's what you get.
Yeah.
Look, tikka masala.
That's awesome. I love that we're getting just all those random
That'll be comics. The next Sarah episode is like this book about Indian food.
If we read it and we're like, Sarah, fuck with us super hard. And then
we'll definitely Postmates Indian food in spirit of it.
Eat it on the podcast. Yeah.
We'll all get like the 10 heat and just try and podcast.
Dude, I love spicy Indian food.
It's very good.
Look at this pretty picture. When does it come out? August, you said?
August 16th.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Layla Star is like one of my like top five trades, I think, that we read on this. So
yeah, easily.
So pretty cool.
And last thing, I don't know if we knew the actual release date, but Mark Miller's Big Game, which is his Miller World crossover event that comes July 19th.
Okay, pretty cool.
What did we read this week, Nathan?
Dana, we read the Eisner-nominated It's Lonely at the Center of the Earth, but the center is spelled C-E-N-T-R-E.
Like theater.
Is that like the...
For some people.
Oh, I was like, is that like color, you know? Like O-U-R versus O-R?
Oh, so Rare Flavors, that book, it's spelled with a U too. I don't know what that means.
What do you mean? I don't know what that means.
Or did you say... You said color?
Like, I said color, but flavor is the same way. Like O-U-R.
It's like flavor, but fancy, you know?
But like hour. Flavor hour.
I don't know the reasoning for her spelling it like that.
Because English sucks, you know? Anyway.
She lives in London. If I see her, I'll ask.
Okay, yeah. Like, is this... Am I just a dumb American? I don't know, like, what this... You in know, the play on title. Yeah, exactly. But by Zoe Thorogood. And she did everything herself, I'm pretty sure.
Yep. She got nominated for Best Writer Artist for this book.
That seems pretty apt.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
It's an autobiographic novel.
That's such a sick little, like, whatever that is, the subtitle thing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So funny.
I can't believe she was the first to do it.
It's right there.
It's right there. You can just get it.
Stupid.
Yeah.
It's probably... Like, just a couple pages in,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, this is probably one of the most, like, unique comics I've ever read.
100%.
I had a lot of fun with this. I liked it a lot. A lot of the themes, the storytelling was bizarre.
Yeah.
A lot of, like, art styles, which is really fun.
Mm-hmm. Like, they're so consistent, too. Like, she switches between, like, a couple different art styles, and they're all, like, really good.
Yeah, and you, like, know kind of what each one kind of represents, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, like, pretty down-to-earth kind of thing. And it's on, like a topic that I think isn't really talked about a lot in comics, you know? So it's pretty refreshing to see, especially in this kind of light, you know? Something that's, like, coming out through Image and has a lot of attention and things like that.
Yeah, and I think it's the themes that are discussed, which is, like, a lot of depression and, like, suicide, is articulated so well.
Yeah.
Like, whatever... With what she like writes down and how she chooses to represent some of those things is really, really strong.
Yeah. And I feel like after reading this, you can kind of, you almost feel like you know her, you know? Yeah.
I feel so parasocial right now.
Right.
I'm like, oh yeah, me and Zoe, we're homies.
Of course. Yeah. Loves a coffee.
Yeah. Loves yeah, exactly.
Latte with oat milk or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And I just like that she has like this cast of alter ego like characters that are all Zoe, but she's like feeling at like different times. And I think that that's like a pretty fun element of the book.
What is kind of like a very, I don't know, it's kind of an obvious thing, but what you kind of realize is that she's like, she obviously isn't like drawing everything that happens to her, like the day it happens or whatever.
Yeah.
But it feels like she is, uh-huh. You know, like the book starts and it's her making a book, which is this book.
Yeah.
And then it ends when she finishes the book.
It's so incredibly meta.
Yeah.
I could see like why the Eisners would be like, this is a comic book right here, you know, because it's just like about comics.
The Oscars would eat this up, you know, if it was
public domain about comic books, a comic book about comic books, essentially.
Yeah, as if like it was about like Chip Zdarsky's life or something, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Then so
it feels like something that might have been done before, but like I don't know, I can't say that it has.
Surely wouldn't be as good as this.
No,
I feel like, because I really enjoyed it. It was like as soon as I was like in the thick of it, I just like couldn't put it down.
It like
was,
doesn't drag at all.
No, it doesn't. It keeps it fresh. There's things that happened in this book that I've never seen in a comic book before. And there's like specifically two things, which I thought were really creative, but, and it's just, yeah, it doesn't drag. I like lost sleep. I was like reading this and I was like, I just wanted to keep going, you know?
Yeah.
So it was super cool. So let's get into it.
Alrighty.
So
issue one,
it starts with a bombshell saying that like, she like compares it to like, oh, this was a movie, it would be like this, it would have a nice hot protagonist and an audience that would probably feel fine at the end when they leave. But no, it's not a movie, it's a story about her, and she's been considering suicide. And we see Zoe in the process of working on the book that we are currently reading. And so it has such a strong open because of that second page turn where you see like this creature just like barely like creeping into like the like bathroom or whatever.
It's like a almost like manga style demon.
Yeah, it's like it's like a depression monster type thing, and it is fucking freaky.
It is very
freaky. She does horror so well.
Yeah.
She posted a picture, I think it was from another book that she was talking about in this book. It's called Rain.
Yeah, it was like an adaptation of Joe Hill's book.
I guess so, yeah.
Which was a novel, which was also nominated.
The first thing I've seen from Zoe Thorogood is I think a splash page of that, and it's like a fucking wild creature that's like
the pages in this book that she shows.
I don't think
it's got a bunch of arms and shit.
It's like a big baby face thing, and it's got a bunch of arms. But no, I like saw that and I was like, this is fucked up. And I'm like, I just clicked on the profile and then I saw Billy Scott. I saw her book Billy Scott, which she talks about in this book a lot because it was the book that she did before this.
Yeah.
And that's how I got on the Zoe Thorogood train. So
I think I just like followed her on Twitter because she had like funny tweets.
Yeah.
And I think I knew that she was like a comic creator, but like I didn't really look into what she's done. Mm-hmm. I guess I maybe looked at like her bio and there might have been a couple things listed, but I'm like, I don't know what that is, and just kind of moved on.
Yeah.
But then this came out and everyone was like posting about it. She's like retweeting a lot of the things that she saw.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, good for her. That's awesome.
Yeah. I remember seeing that too. And I was like, it's probably pretty good.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, big vouch for Billy Scott. But I was like, if it's anything like that, it'll be pretty good. So I just like love the roller coaster of styles that we immediately see, because it starts off very clearly like manga inspired, I would say. And then like just a couple pages in, we start to like get a big splash of color. It gets like a little bit more abstract. We see like a bunch of different styles kind of happen all at once, and it's very like overwhelming almost like immediately, which I think is really cool.
Nathan, do you know who this is?
That is Saitama.
Good, just checking.
From One Punch Man.
She's got a One Punch Man mug.
She does. And like she has one of the alter egos when she's like feeling pretty mellow, I think, or just like, I don't know. I guess mellow is the best way to put it.
With her hair or without it?
No, with the bald one.
That's like, I think that's like her awkward, cringy self where she feels like uncomfortable.
Yeah. You know? And that I think was inspired from Saitama, which I think is really fun-ish.
Oh, okay. I didn't even think about it.
Yeah.
I guess so.
Because we see the Saitama thing and then like a couple pages later, it's like something very similar. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I just think. But yeah, I like that version of that character. And so Zoe's doing an interview, and she's like talking to the audience, but really to herself about her experiences. and to talk about like going to America for like a first convention. And she's convincing herself that this will be a good thing for her and it'll make her happy. But it's in the way that this is all happening, it's incredibly meta because she's in the book, she's being interviewed for like a movie or something. But it's her writing the fact that she's interviewing herself in a movie setting, but really it's for the comic book readers. And so there's just like all this shit's happening. And I'm like, this is just so fun to like try and keep track of or like just think about like how it was made.
Yeah, it's like we're watching her. And then also it's like she's looking at herself in the past and she's like narrating it all.
Yeah, it's like a book about herself. Then she breaks the fourth wall and then breaks that wall by making it like a movie production and then talking to us like you. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think the production side of things is like the production of like the comic book or whatever. But it's really fun. It's just a roller coaster. I just like every couple pages, it's like, wow, this is just something different now that we're seeing. But it's still, you know, the same topic overall.
What was really refreshing is like all the pages have different densities as far as like the words and whatnot.
Yeah.
Like the captions, like the speech bubbles and whatnot. Like sometimes she'll just have a splash page of her just writing some stuff.
Which is very nice. Gives me the mental break.
Yeah. And so I think, I don't know if that was intentional. If it was, she's genius. But if not, still nice. Because when it's like the same amount of captioning on every single page, like a Tom King book or something where it's captioned on every single panel.
Yeah.
Or if it's just something that maybe doesn't have any panels and just flows a lot better. It's like a little bit of both, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I think that's very important to like keep your reader engaged.
Because there's like parts where there's like a chunk of pages you might like kind of fly through and then a couple more where might slow down a bit.
And then like just, sometimes
it fluctuates.
Sometimes if you'll turn a page and you see like, oh, there's a lot of words here I got to read. You know, maybe not like immediately you won't get like fatigued, but I think just turning a page, wow, there's a lot of words here. Turning a page, wow, there's a lot of words here. It'll like be tough to like read the comic almost.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think she definitely strikes that balance. But we meet her friend Izzy, who's like very extroverted and they've been like longtime friends. We see Zoe like signing some books for people that recognized her. And she was starting working on her project at the time called Rain. She talks about like how messy art is and, you know, transforming ink into emotion felt by readers is like pretty raw thing. But leaving that work after you're like done drawing for the day, like that's the tough part of life that's like essentially everything that's going on. But again, like every single page, it's like something different's going on. So like big vouch to read this book, definitely, because it's just it's a fucking ride. But she represents everybody as like anthropomorphic animals. And even like the people that are like close to her, like her friends and stuff. And yeah. I wonder why that was. It was an interesting choice.
Maybe to keep people anonymous.
Yeah, that's true. There's one person that she does have to keep anonymous in this.
Right. And so it'd be kind of weird if... I guess it's like you're not... It's easier than just like asking for reference pages or like pictures from somebody.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, and...
I guess her parents aren't.
It feels very like Jason, you know?
It does.
Or like... Even a little bit like Saga or something, where there's just like a bird person talking.
Yeah, and it's just fine. It's like whatever.
Yeah.
I love this panel explaining that she didn't fully connect that like actual people are finding and like reading her art. And so there's like a scene where she's at like the coffee shop and people are like, oh my God, I love your work. And then like the next panel is just like her floating in space with like a bunch of cows. And I just think that shit's so funny because she was like so taken back. So she's like, I don't know what's happening right now. And she chooses to represent that by floating in space with cows. And I thought it was really funny.
Yeah. Cause like for her, it's like, I imagine she just like makes something, puts it out.
You might get
metrics. You might get like a couple of tweets or whatever.
Yeah, some impressions.
But like when that like comes around to where like you're recognized for that
in the flesh,
and you meet someone who likes the thing, you know?
Yeah, and they just come up and talk to you because she's very antisocial. And so yeah, whenever that happens, her brain I think just gets overloaded.
Yeah,
which same, I would be the same way.
We get a cool zombie video game page.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, she's really good at pixel art even. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You got to choose something to be bad at.
I was please. Like, what video game is this? It looks fun.
it does look
zombies
like fun.
And stuff. Gotta download it.
Zombies and stuff, the video game. But yeah, like truly like every page is kind of something to marvel at. And it kind of just shows her range. So It's pretty cool. So yeah, that's kind of like the first issue. There's not really like issues, but there's page breaks. And so I really like this one with like, it's just like a little doodle.
Yeah.
Of like a guy skating.
There was, I broke it up into two parts because right in the middle, she just like restarts or something.
I loved that. I thought that was so funny.
We see the cover again. We'll get to it. But like, that's how I broke it up.
Okay. Yeah. There's like just random page breaks in there. But yeah. So Zoe finds a dog being abused physically and she feels guilty about doing nothing about it, which reminds her of feeling powerless and getting bullied as like a child. She attends an Image Comics creator panel and is told by a comic book creator named Kieran, I think Kieran Gillen,
that'd be something,
that she is the future of comics and she rides that high for a while.
Cause like at that time that was like Wicked and Divine.
Yeah, probably.
You know, which would be pretty cool, I imagine.
Yeah, which I like what she takes from that. Because what he says is like, not to scare you, but as a future of comics, people will be looking to see what you do. And there's this like page where she was like, I have a future. And it's just like, it's just like a picture of like some little like baby. I assume it's her probably. I don't know. But I just thought that show was so funny.
Yeah. Something that I thought was like pretty like powerful, I guess, is how she like represents like anxiety when she gets that, and it's represented as like worms under her skin.
I fucking hate that.
And but that's how anxiety feels.
It's supposed to, yeah, it's supposed to be very uncomfortable to look at.
And right.
And there's one so panel well. That made me like wince. I was like, that's fucking gross. And I'll point it out when we get there. But
okay,
it's like with that same concept, but it's just like the way that she drew it, it just made me fucking cringe.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it like there's like worms under her skin that make her feel nervous about like any sort of social situation that she has to handle.
Yeah.
And God is fucked up. But then COVID happens and she's stuck at home in very non-social settings for 3 years and kind of just like loses the plot of this book that she's trying to write, not being able to like fly out to America and, you know, do that stuff. So it then turns into a bunch of like text messages about an embarrassing story that she, you know, had one time. And Zoe then gives us a few blank pages to make our own comic book.
Yeah.
It's only at the center of the earth. And so she gives us two pages. And that's some shit I've never seen. I've never read a comic book and been told to like make a comic book right now.
Yeah.
So I thought that shit was crazy. Like it's crazy. And there's a, I just really love this like double page splash thing where it's like that depression monster who's like really gotten big now because of like COVID and stuff, and it's like trying to like punch at her or like punch her into a void. This like whole metaphor for like a void or whatever, I don't know, it just looks really sick. So after we're supposed to make our own comic book, I just realized I should have like screenshotted it and then like drawn over like that like blank page and made my own comic book. I don't even know what it'd be about.
You still have time. Like, you could do that and then send it to me. We both do a page.
Oh, yeah.
Or a splash page?
We should both do our own. Two pages.
Okay.
Actually, no.
And then we'll post them. We could post them and then we could also, like, put them in the video, like, when we're talking about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Put a poll on Twitter.
Whose page is better?
Who's better? Who'd win the Eisner?
I don't know what to even, like...
Would it be me to win the Eisner, Daniel that wins the Eisner, or Zoe Thorogood?
Those are your three options. We just swoop in.
Yeah.
we get invitations and like the award for best writer artist goes to
Trade Waiters?
It's only at the center of the earth to the Trade Waiters.
Yeah.
Like Zoe stands up for something. She's like, no.
Ooh. Okay. Yeah. All right. So there's like a crazy scene where there's a head teacher at a school that tells a young Zoe that teenage girl suicide is inevitable and it's statistics, which is fucked up. And then we see Zoe having trouble connecting with her parents because of her depression that she like tries to hide. But that is a insane page, like in this crazy, like cold take from like this head teacher.
I like how the depression monster is like,
He's like on the back of the car, yeah.
For the vacation.
It is kind of silly. But I really like this metaphor that she puts on for like video game stealth meters for like how she can tell when Zoe's parents like are kind of suspecting that her like depression is there, and like her parents' demeanor changes when they suspect like there's depression in Zoe.
Mm-hmm.
So she'll like say something and then like their little bar will go up above their head and, you know, change their body language a little bit. I thought that was a cool indication, because I'm sure people will like do that kind of deal. Be like, do they know, you know, but because depression is so hard to talk about, I feel like. But Zoe used to work in an egg farm dealing with like a bunch of chicken corpses for a little bit.
She wouldn't kill them. Like, she'd just pick them up if they
died. There was like chickens that would die because of the conditions that they were in, and she would just have to like pick them up so that the other chickens don't eat them.
But if you pick them up and they're not dead, then they just start like moving.
Like, oh, okay, my bad.
Like, go.
But while she was doing her job, she like listened to stories or, you know, audiobooks, whatever it was, and she would like draw the protagonists at home. And, you know, while Zoe's visiting her parents, she would fight. She had a fight with her parents about being like too quiet, not being able to connect very well while she's like visiting, and explains that her mom had her own depression monster type thing, but she would thwart that by focusing on like raising her kids.
Yeah.
So like, she would like hyper focus in that.
She struggled with that. And probably one of my like favorite panels is like where it says like a responsibility and love that was stronger than her monster.
Yeah.
I was like, damn.
And like I like this page turn where she was like fighting with her mom and like the depression monster's like there. And then you turn the page and it's like, boom, bitch, your mom also has depression.
Yeah.
Which is,
because it's like it can be inherited kind of thing, you know.
Well, like it's very sad because like they both kind of just want to connect.
Yeah.
They just don't really know how to. And they're like, you know, that mental blocker is there for them, which is kind of like very dramatic. So Zoe does like an interview, but she has a hard time articulating her character Billy Scott's like differences from like herself, and so she hates doing interviews, I guess. And then we run into the dog that's getting abused again, and she's scared but reports it to the police, who say that they can't really do anything about it. And so she just didn't really, nothing really happened there.
It seems weird. Like, it would be kind of weird if you were like with her, with Billy Scott, how I guess, or even with this, if she's being interviewed about something that's like so personal and she just like kind of opened up like so much about like herself and this sort of thing, and then mm-hmm. someone just like asking about that.
Yeah, and be like, so like, where does you know, how are you similar
yeah.
to that character that you probably based kind of on yourself?
Just yeah, it'd just be like awkward, be like, I don't know what to say to that.
Yeah, and that's like an impossible question to answer, kind of. Good book though.
Good book.
So Zoe's alter egos are all start talking, wanting to start this book again. So she like gains motivation to like get herself out there for once and, you know, doing a convention and then going to America to meet this boy that she's been talking to overseas. And so the book just like restarts, which is crazy. Like it's the cover. It's Lonely at the Center of the Earth.
She realized that it's like, got, the like, book the, can be whatever she wants it to be. Because yeah. like these like characters are like in the book, and
yeah.
they and those people in the book can control what's happening.
Yeah. And I like that this metaphor where she like puts herself on like the theater stage. And I think it's funny that she voluntarily like makes it an empty theater so that she doesn't have to draw a crowd.
Yeah.
I thought that was clever. And there's also a really sick splash page where, you know, it's like her kind of like falling, but it's like a bunch of different art styles, and then also like a picture of what I assume is just her.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was really cool looking. And yeah, I never thought I'd read a book where they just like restart halfway through, but I've like I've never seen that before. It even goes like to like the copyright like section and stuff.
Yeah,
as well, really, which I think is really funny. But yeah, we just like restart. And so yeah, Zoe goes to a convention to find more people like her. But she brings her friend Izzy for emotional and like social support. But she's still like freaked out by the whole thing, tries to like hype herself up to like actually do this. And she like thinks about it in the tub, which is where I have like my least favorite panel of like the whole thing, where like she's taking the worms out of her arm, or like the worms are like coming out of her arm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fucking disgusting. And like there's like a first person view of like the worms kind of like in her arms.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just awful.
And there's like little like craters left.
Oh yeah, dude.
We love it.
It's so gross. So the night before the con, Izzy gets like, her friend Izzy gets super drunk and Zoe finds her passed out drunk. So Izzy's like super sick the next day, so she can't go help her. And she's like, God damn it, I need you. So Zoe sets up the con for the next day and is surprised the day of the con later that Izzy has traveled to go see her and tackle the con with her and helps Zoe get through it. There's a really funny splash page where she's just like sitting and like taking care of her friend Izzy while she's like on the floor. Her like ass cheeks are out because she was so drunk. Mm-hmm. And there's like a quote from Image Comics where it says poignant and thought provoking.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really funny.
And then like there's like a callback to it later where she like they make up and then like she's like, when you put me in your comic, can you have my ass cheeks out?
Yeah, which is cool. And the con experience here feels pretty accurate too. Like there's like a lot of different interactions that I assume a bunch of comic book people go through, and they seem pretty well represented here. But my favorite is like this little frog kid who like comes up and he's like, draw a picture. And he like is forcing like different people to like draw pictures for him. I think it's cute.
I'm like, can I get away with that as a 27-year-old man?
As an adult man forcing people to like
draw
stuff for you. You just go up to like David Finch.
Yeah, exactly.
Next week and you're like, draw a picture. So she finishes the con. She goes back home and gets ready to fly to America and meet this guy that's also like an artist. That's how they met initially. The problem is, though, that Zoe's preparing to fall in love. And she's already told him that she's not going to fall in love with him, kind of deal. But she seems like pretty empowered by the journey. And she ends up making it to America. I like how she portrays like kind of the excitement of like gearing up for travel. Like she's like at the airport on like the walking sidewalk thing. And she's kind of like dancing or whatever. She's got kind of excited for the trip.
Oh, I didn't realize that's what that was.
Yeah.
Real quick. So she takes the train, you know, from her place to the airport, right?
Yeah.
And then the stop is like now arriving at Heathrow Terminals 2, 3, and 5.
Yeah.
And then her flight's the next day. Meaning there's hotels at the airport, which is potentially like, which is genius. I looked it up. There is.
Oh yeah, I guess she does stay at a
hotel. I'm like, why do we have to like fucking take a cab to someplace?
We gotta fucking figure it out.
Like Uber to like a Marriott or some shit and then Uber back, you know, rather than like just going downstairs and there's the airport.
Yeah, just make it all in one.
It's so fucking easy.
Yeah, you have to go through TSA to go into your hotel room.
We were at this airport. I just don't remember seeing any hotels anywhere.
Oh, this is the one in London?
Yeah. Heathrow?
Oh yeah, we were there.
Yeah.
I wanted to stay there.
We were there for like a little bit. And yeah. We had to fucking book it from like
one flight to the other. I thought we were going to leave one of our people behind.
Was it me and you who like went ahead?
You went ahead.
You
would have left me for dead.
Yeah, I was like, they're boarding right now. And I don't see them.
And I was in line. And like for the TSA, there's like one person working the TSA thing. They're like, all right, take off your shoes.
Because we left early because we were planning on getting fish and chips for everybody. But it was like the opposite direction of where we needed to be. And yeah. We had like no time.
That's the most stressed I think I've been.
I was trying to like stall, you know.
And you're like act like you have a heart attack or something right at the gate.
Like, can I see your ID? Like, ID? My ID?
Oh, mine.
Yeah.
Like from here?
For what?
What are you going to do with it?
Yeah. I have the ticket. Let me get on.
Yeah. Is this enough?
Yeah. That was around like COVID because you had to get all these like...
All the like papers.
Yeah. Because like your test or whatever checked and all that shit. And it was a whole deal.
Yeah.
And you guys were like the last people to get on.
You're like rummaging through your bag. You're like, fuck, where's my... I swear I had it.
Yeah.
So embarrassing. And you're like, oh, it's in my pocket as soon as we get there.
Yeah. And it even played out even funnier. Like we were in line to like go like check in or whatever. You'd have to like check in, then you can get on or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the line was like, okay, length. I'm like, all right, we're okay for right now. Mm-hmm. And then another line opens up. They're like, oh, I can get you right here. I'm like, ah! No. It was just a nightmare. Anyway, back to this.
So she gets picked up at the, there's a line here that I really like. And she says that she's inconsequentially small to a much larger world, being, and she's like referencing that being like comforting in a way.
Because she's like on a flight and seeing like...
Yeah, because she's so like kind of wrapped up in like herself. And so when she's on a flight and she sees like this big old world to explore or whatever, and she gets kind of like really wrapped up, she's like able to experience like this big open world or whatever. I just thought it was really nice.
Yeah.
But she gets picked up at the airport by this dude, and it starts off kind of awkward, but they just like do drugs and they bang with the pretense of no love. But yeah, it ends up being... pretty nice. But I like on the car ride there, she's just like a big worm. She's represented as like a big worm in the car ride.
Yeah, I didn't pick up on that.
Car rides are just always so awkward, I feel like.
Yeah.
Just on any like road trip or whatever. Especially if it's someone you don't know.
Like, especially like for booty call, you know?
Yeah, exactly. They're like, what do you talk about? And these pages where they're on drugs is fucking wild. Like the coloring.
Yeah, the acid trip.
Yeah, the acid trip, the coloring. There's that like Saitama alter ego thing. Like, that's there, but it's also just like her actual picture that she's like formed into like that shape, which I think is really funny.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good.
And then like there's the her ex or whatever is like represented as like a cat person.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like in one of these panels, it's just like a photoshopped cat, like a photo of it. And
that's right. Funny. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. I love that like juxtaposition. It's just so it's just so different. So Zoe talks to this dude about how she doesn't really know what like this autobio thing is anymore, like this book. And Zoe tells a story of a time that she saved a kid from killing herself by getting like run over so that she could see her parents in heaven.
Because like that day she like learned about heaven.
She learned about heaven and like her parents are dead. So she like was trying to kill herself, but I don't think she really understood what was going on. Really.
Yeah, not in like a suicidal way. It's
like, yeah, she's like, oh, I'll just like, you know, go see my parents real quick.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. I can't believe like something like that actually happened to her. And also talks about how she was kind of like a kid with complex depressive feelings that she didn't really know how to talk about, but now that she's an adult, it's like all that she talks and thinks about. And so it's just kind of been like this big 180 almost. And so she's just like talking to this dude, this booty call, about all this. And then she ends the conversation with like, well, I'm gonna go shit myself, which I thought was really funny. And so this guy's ex is not so happy that Zoe is there, but Zoe meets this dude's kids anyway. Do we know his name? Is it like Jeff or something?
I don't think they ever say, really.
I don't think they say it either. But Zoe meets his kids anyway, and she starts to feel like even more alone that she doesn't really have anything to resemble this. But I think there's a panel here that has actually made me laugh out loud.
When the she's tuba
like,
one?
The trombone. That is the best. I was reading it and the kid's like, hey, watch this. And it's just like, it is so, because that's how it feels.
And the noise you just made is what I heard in my head. And like and reading just, it panel to panel is perfect for that.
It is actually like probably the most I've ever laughed out loud at like a single joke. Like I'll give a chortle or whatever, but like I saw this and I like actually laughed out loud. It was so impressive. Yeah, because that's how it feels. Anytime there's a kid like playing an instrument, they're like really bad and they're playing it so loud, so I just relate to this. Oh, so
this
well.
Isn't even the tuba.
It's like a trump or no, it's a tuba, isn't it?
No, tuba's like wrap around you.
Oh, that's right. It's like trombone.
That's not a trombone.
What's a trombone?
Trombone's like the one that you like push in ooh, and out. Ooh.
Okay, I'm gonna.
Oh, this one says tuba. Okay, maybe I'm wrong. What's the shit that wraps around you? Is that like
I think that's also a tuba.
Like an old school.
Oh, that's
tuba?
Called a sousaphone tuba.
The one that wraps?
Yeah, the one that wraps around
okay,
you.
Okay, so normal tuba.
All yeah, right. So it's a normal tuba.
Dude. Like, I like the instrument that I had as like a kid, like the violin.
Yeah, you know? Violin's pretty sick.
Like, that was... there's a lot of... I don't know. I liked it. It was lightweight.
Yeah.
And just having something this fucking big.
Be so annoying. Carrying it around... and, like in school, kind and of just embarrassing.
Has
like
it just has the three little buttons or whatever. And yeah. Apparently that's all the notes, you know?
That's all you need.
And I feel like they can only play like three notes or something, but
yeah. Yeah.
It's quite a commitment.
I played the recorder.
You didn't play any instrument?
No, not for school. I took a guitar class as like an elective in high school.
Oh yeah. That class was sick.
It was cool. What was that teacher's name? He was cool. he spoke very highly of you.
Oh, Mr. Patel?
Yeah, Mr. Patel.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah.
I feel like I saw him in the wild once.
I think I was just thinking about that. I think we have seen him in the wild. I just can't remember what it was.
Were you there?
You told me about it at least, or maybe I was there.
I saw him at like a Perry game or something.
Was that like Guitar Center? Didn't we see someone at Guitar Center? We saw a different teacher though.
That'd be fucking something.
I think it was Ms. Ock.
You only had the first year, right? You didn't take the second one?
No.
Okay.
I took music theory.
There was this other dude who was kind of cool, but he was a bit of a bummer. I was his TA, and he I had my TA hour like first hour, which was sick, so I was late like every day.
Oh, okay.
And he had a couch in his office, so I just slept like every day.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
He never had anything for me to do. It was awesome.
That's dope.
Anyway, yeah, Mr. Patel was awesome. Yeah, I already played guitar, so like
it was just pretty
I was
easy.
Just showing off. You know, I was a dick in that class.
Yeah, you were one of them that like you
everyone
play the
was
guitar.
Trying to learn guitar, and I was just discouraging.
And you're like
them.
G chord, easy B minor. So basically, the book ends with her possibly getting an STD from this guy. So they go get tested
because her ex had an STD and is claiming it was from him.
Yeah. And so he's like, you got to go get tested. So they get tested. They go eat pancakes after, which is nice.
It definitely settles the sting. You know?
Yeah, it does. And then she realizes he thinks this whole thing was like a big mistake and that he can't be with Zoe.
Can't get over his ex.
Can't get over his ex. Yeah. Which I really like how that's represented. Like he's saying nice things to her face. But then she could like read it on his face that she thinks is a big mistake. And it's like written on like a silhouette. Really, really clever.
Yeah.
So she heads back home. When she gets back home, she's like carried by those alter egos to like go back home. And then the book kind of devolves into just like finishing the book and confronting that like depression monster thing who calls out that Zoe doesn't want to be happy, which I think is big confrontation. There's a lot that she's fighting within herself here.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Like, it was more like she was always being like this way because like internally, like maybe she didn't realize that she didn't want to be happy kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And she talks about how like happiness is in like a constant state. It like comes and goes yeah. just like pain.
Yeah.
And so it's like a very like, it's a great way just to like, think about these kind of feelings,
I
you
agree.
Know?
Yeah. And then Zoe, like, there's a really nice thing where Zoe connects with, like, her younger self, alter ego, and she, like, creates stories with herself, which is actually just her being open to creating the stories that she wants to create. And then there's, like, a monologue about suicide, and when she feels the need to contemplate it, she just thinks that she knows herself well enough now that she just needs, like, a change of setting to exist, like, formless and free. Kind of deal. It also ends with her like there's a part where there's a bunch of scribbles which I thought was good, and then the next page, the scribble page is nice, and then the next page is her just drawing a bunch of stick men, and she's like, look at this, I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
And, like, she makes the stick man start jerking himself off.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is going on? But
you would never know about this.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a sweet like page where she's drawing with herself as like a little kid, and then it turns into a photo of Zoe like in the same position that she was in drawing with herself as a kid, and I don't know, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, there, and then it goes back to this. It's a picture of that she drew of a page of her drawing, like, or like the color, the cover, and kind of like the concept of that.
Yeah,
and like the title, and like she makes kind of this like subtitle, so it's like, it's lonely at the center of the earth. And then sub is like, they're not trying to live there anymore.
Yeah.
Is like a kind of a big wrap up of yeah. like the whole story.
Mm-hmm. Really good.
Very good.
Like, you know, a book like this doesn't really have like an ending, you know, but I like that what she did with it is that, you know, coming to terms with and realizing that, you know, she's working on getting better, and she knows how to like do that for herself a little bit more.
Yeah.
I don't know. Really just honestly, really good book. Like I would recommend this to people.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this would be something that you could even, I was thinking like at first, like when I started reading it, like this might be something a little too dark for someone that might be having similar feelings, but kind of like if you, as long as you kind of read it as a whole, I think it has like a message to where that is something that you want to recommend.
Yeah. Like I think she articulates a lot of feelings of depression very, very strongly.
Yeah.
And coincided with the visuals and metaphors that she represents on the pages. Like, it's the, it's one of the most like profound books. It, it feels kind of that same level of profoundness as like a COVID story as like the Bo Burnham special, which is just like kind of weird and like all over the place. But like, I would say it's like that level of good and talking about like mental illness and stuff as that kind of deal.
Definitely. Yeah.
So pretty cool.
There's the last panel or last page. She's kind of like talking about, I guess, kind of like how to like live life, I guess, or not like how to live life, but like how, she's going to like move forward living life and how some people should like just kind of look at why we're all here, mm-hmm. you know? And she acknowledges that the monologue is out of hand, but she's like, if I may leave you with one last thing, it's, and there's a bird like covering the last caption
flying across like the caption, yeah. as if you like took a picture at like the worst yeah. time. Yeah. I think that was, that's a good way to end it off too. Cause it's just like, it, it doesn't really matter. Like what she has to say or whatever. It's just like, we take our own takeaways from that.
Yeah. I think that was on purpose. Like,
yeah, 100%. Yeah. She didn't accidentally draw a pigeon, but there's no back matter. So we're gonna have to skip back matter matters this week.
No, Nathan, we're going to cut everything you just said. So let's get into Back Matter Matters.
Let's get into Back Matter Matters.
Because I made the song, and we're going to put it in there. Back Matter Matters. And so we get two blank pages, so you can add more. So you can add your own ending.
A third, yeah. A third page to your own. It's Lonely at the Center of the Other comic.
And then the back cover.
The back cover, yeah.
So... you know, I feel like not every book has like the back cover in like the digital trade.
I feel like a lot of them do.
A lot of them do, but not everyone has. And it, and I kind of like the illusion.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too.
Because I always look at it. Like when I finish a book, I'm not just like last page and I'm like, all right.
Yeah. If it says the end, I'm not like, all right, well, I don't need to swipe through the rest of these pages.
No, it'd be cool if like, I guess sometimes when you read something and then you go to the back cover, there's like something kind of added to it that you'd only really like some sort of reference, so you'd only get after you've reading the book, you know?
Oh yeah,
like a little tidbit or even like a little bit more back matter.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing with like this book is that there's a need to be back matter because it's kind of all back matter. Yeah, in a way. There's tons of sketches.
Wow.
There's covers. There's pages from her other books.
Yeah, I know.
So it's kind of like a character bio.
And 100% is.
Oh, the whole thing's a fucking character
and
bio.
And she's like talking about making the book.
Creator bio. Yeah.
While she's making the book.
The whole book is back matter,
The whole
Nathan.
Book is fucking back. This is our biggest back matter yet.
Ah! It's even bigger than the 25th anniversary of Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. This is our biggest back matter book.
Pages.
Holy shit. And this is 187 or something.
We'd like to give the Traverse Award to Biggest Back Matter.
Well, we should make a Biggest Back Matter Award.
Biggest Back Matter of the Year.
That should be a new Eisner.
It'd be hilarious if someone like just put a shit ton of back matter in order to win the award.
That's great. I mean, if it's good back matter, you know.
Yeah.
Who's to say?
We'd love to inspire.
Yeah. But yeah, that's a very good point. It's all like that. There's even parts where it's like there's pencils, you know. In here, so I don't know, crazy. What would you rate this book, Daniel?
Nathan, I give it a gotta have it, but that's just kind of our normal rating. I'd give it like a pint of Dreyer's mitten chip, but like, and you sit down on your couch, eat the whole thing one sitting, and you watch a movie that just has like a theme that hits like the same emotions that you're feeling that day. You know what I mean?
The food ratings are getting out of hand now. It's like
no.
Including experiences.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Cause like, so yeah, on the couch, it's like a Saturday night where you're staying in,
mm-hmm.
you know, you ever watch movies like that where it just happens to just kind of be exactly
what you need.
Yeah. Or like, it's the same like vibe that you're already in.
Yeah. Cause
sometimes you might be like, kind of mopey, but then you watch something exciting and it kind of changes things.
Yeah,
but something that's kind of like consistent. Maybe you're a little bummed and you watch a movie that's a little bummer,
a little bummy,
but also kind of good, you know?
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think that could be very comforting as well.
Yeah,
I would rate this. I would give this an Eisner.
Oh,
that's
got
my
him.
New rating.
Got him.
I applied. They didn't get me in. But you know what, Zoe? I know you're listening.
Oh, we didn't get it.
We didn't get it.
Did they tell us no?
No. I mean,
do we get a rejection email?
No, we haven't. We never will, I don't think. But
so you did apply though?
Yeah.
Okay. Was it because I reminded you?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's like a Google form. It's really weird.
Maybe we just haven't heard yet because we got our the last day to submit is like the second, which is like a week from now.
Oh, okay.
So
they're maybe considering all the applicants, but I'm sure we're at the top.
Right.
And then
top of the rejections.
Maybe. I like to think of it as every year it's just been like, boom, like we're about to get in and then it's like sketched or something gets in on top.
Is there like a little like comments box so you can type shit in?
Yeah.
So you should be like year three of applying for this.
I should do that.
Just so that they'll like feel bad. You know how like people
day 1057 of not being in the Eisners.
Yeah. You know how like certain TikToks in the comments will be like day 57 of asking for this.
Yeah.
You know? And so
I should do that. Yeah. Year three. And I try and make it seem so prestigious and I like bullshit it. But maybe next year I'll be like year four of trying to.
It's like, what do they want? You know,
we are qualified.
Yeah.
We've never made a comic book.
It's not like we.
But we are qualified.
Right. It's not like we just started a podcast like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. We're elite.
I'd say so.
We're the Joe Rogan of comic book podcasts.
No, dude, that's fucking Word Balloon.
Oh, dude, you're right.
Yeah, Word Balloon is like fucking.
Holy shit, he is Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
What's his name? John Suntris.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's Joe Rogan.
I call him.
He's the GOAT.
In my head, I call him Mr. Fantastic because he said like, oh, that's fantastic. Like all the time.
Oh.
And it bugs the shit out of me. Like he's a great podcaster and he's like a radio guy or whatever. Good, yeah. But like he says fantastic all the time.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
And what's that other dude that's on off panel? It's like David Harper or something like that.
David Harper. Yeah.
Yeah. He says like, he says it's interesting. Like 10 times an episode.
Well, I'm sure we do the same thing. There's things that we say.
We say a lot and I cut it out.
Well, good. But I'm sure we do the same thing and we just don't realize.
I think we say surely a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Surely we don't.
Well, one episode, it was like really bad. I was like, am I saying it because he's saying it? Did I hear this somewhere else? But yeah, it was like a lot. And it was like,
I've never realized.
It was like one statement I said surely, and the next statement you said surely. And it was just like, I need to cut out this whole thing.
We pulled a prank on you for future Daniel.
We should have like a word of the day for each episode and just try and shove it in there as much as possible and see people pick it up.
Daniel, let's get into the poll list. Call in.
Shove it in your box.
The poll list, What did you shove in your box?
Daniel, what was shoved in your box today?
So I didn't go to the shop, but I think what's the furthest place from here? Number 13 comes out.
Yep.
And Doom Patrol, number 3.
Mm-hmm. I picked up a sick cover.
Of Doom Patrol?
Yeah. It's like a foil variant, but it's just like of Robot Man's face. But like,
love it.
It's so closed in and like his eyes are just completely like red circles. It looks really good.
You know, it would be, I thought about this today, like, something I would do as a cosplay is Robot Man.
Dude, that would be so sick.
A 3D printed head and then just wear like a leather jacket.
It would be very hot.
I know, right?
You'd be so hot. I wonder if I could find a Robot Man file.
Check. But yeah, dude, there's plenty of time. And then just wear pants and boots and stuff. And
yeah,
then
just like a leather jacket or whatever. Because you'd have to do your hands too. Hands would be really tough.
That'd be fucking... No, I'm not...
Robot hands?
I'm not doing robot hands.
What does he wear?
Or maybe like some sort of...
Does he have gloves?
No, he has robot hands.
Yeah, I was about to say.
But like as 3D printed, that's just like brittle, you know?
Just hard to do, yeah.
And then connect it together. Pop all the joints. Or maybe just some sort of like thing that just kind of rests on your hands and then you can still like move your hands under it, you know?
Sure. Okay, that'd be... Yeah.
But, you know, I wouldn't like obviously wear it all day, but it would be cool for like a little bit. I feel like I'd have to get like shoulder pads or something to look like as big as he does.
Yeah.
Or maybe like you also do like a chest plate kind of thing, you know, to kind of.
His mouth doesn't move, right? It's just kind of like.
Not in the show. I think in the books it's supposed to.
Okay. I think you can make that work. We'll see. Circle back with me on that.
Are you currently printing something at the time or are you past that point?
I'm printing shit up until the day, pretty much.
Wow.
Yeah. But.
Yeah. So maybe when I get a 3D printer.
Yeah. If you're going to.
If you upgrade, I'll buy yours.
Because we're doing this for Halloween too. This was too much work to just wear it for one day, you know? So we're doing it for Halloween, and then Kilal is going to be like Grogu or something.
Perfect.
Yeah. But I picked up What's the Furthest Place From Here 13, Doom Patrol number 3, Green Arrow number 2.
Oh, yeah.
And Ambassadors number 5.
Ah, fuck. Ambassadors 5. Okay.
Yeah.
There's always some shit.
They are cranking those out.
Well, it's 5 different artists.
Yeah.
6 different artists. Is this the last one or is there one more?
I think there would be one more.
Did you even read 4?
I read 4 today.
Oh, okay.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah. I liked the concept of it where it's like, is that Brazil?
Yeah.
Where they were? Yeah. It was like a priest guy. He didn't even like sign up, but people nominated him.
Yeah.
Like thousands of people nominated him and he got it. But then he ends up giving it to like this person that feels like she has to join the militia in Brazil to make the community better. You know, I thought that was really cool. But apparently he's like still involved
as well.
Olivier is dope.
So good.
He's
I love super how he good. Draws noses for some reason.
It's like a little button.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the end. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Noses and lips. They're just like, that's how I can identify him, you know, his artwork.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's great.
Yeah. The whole issue is pretty cool. I really like that scene where there's like that mob boss like person there.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know the character's name, but the Brazil one, the Brazil superhero, like makes like an earthquake happen around it. But then like when they run outside, the person's there. I don't know. There's like this weird effect going on in the sky where it's like the shape of like their body in the sky. I don't know. There's like really, really good art in this one. I still don't love that they download their powers, but I'm just going to see what they do with it when they all come together or whatever's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it is like odd.
Mm-hmm. And there's like 150. What powers are there?
I want to see this list.
Surely there's like, I just said surely. God damn it.
Right?
I assume surely
there's only like 50.
I assume, wow, it's really hard not to say surely, but I assume there's only like 25 good ones.
I hope we didn't like, you remember that episode of like
How I Met Your Mother?
Where the glass shatters and now you notice
just,
everything?
You did just shatter my glass.
I hope I didn't do that for like all our listeners and now they'll just hear it in every episode.
Yeah. Oh, God.
But like if
that happened to me with a podcast that I listen to and they pointed out a thing that they say a lot. Now I think about it every single time.
Yeah, I've ruined my own podcasts that I like listening to, you know,
How
but if me and you were just to brainstorm as many powers as we can think of, maybe 50, you know,
we could hit 60.
All right. Bonus episode, right. Guys.
We come up with ambassador superpowers for people to download. But like it's also weird because there would be like obvious ones that people would get, like bulletproof skin, let's say.
Yeah.
You'd probably want that.
Is it the same as invulnerability?
Yeah. Like, is that a different one?
Or unbreakable? So like, if it's
like if there's teleportation. Actually, that's like the only thing of its kind, I feel like.
Yeah.
Let's say like.
Or like a portaling.
Like,
or
let's say that there's invisibility. Sorry. Invincibility. And then there's like healing factor.
Okay, so.
But like you would want to be invincible to start with, you know?
Yeah, so
having a healing factor is like.
If it's taken, you still get a healing factor. The other guy does.
Yeah, I guess so. So. But then you're pissed. You're like, dude, I have reserved the healing factor for June 5th.
I had dibs.
I reserved this one for May 20th, you know?
Yeah.
Whatever.
But, 4 p.m.
And I said I would have it back the next day. Yeah, the book's good. I don't know how it's going to end still. There was more like hint of like the guy making his own superhero thing.
I think he will, and it'll
like, just be a big fight.
An inferior version of that.
Yeah.
But I don't know how they would have like a whole fight in like one issue, you know, of like these super teams.
Yeah. And like,
Justice League does it every issue or whatever.
But is that going to be like satisfying, you know? Cause like we barely know these characters.
Maybe that's what Big Game is about.
Do you think he's just doing this whole thing to set up Big Game?
Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, it could be. Like, I assume they'll show up in Big Game.
Apparently, last issue of Nemesis Reloaded, like, hinted at Big Game or something.
Is it like a post-credit scene? And it's like, Nemesis will return in
Big Game. Is that Kick-Ass?
Oh, my God. You're Kick-Ass.
Oh, my God. It's the Chrononauts or whatever.
Oh, my God. The Time Travelers.
Yeah. Those kids from MPH.
Are you American Jesus? I wonder who's going to show up in that, because he's got some that like do not mesh very well together, I feel like. Because he's got what is it, the one with Greg
Reborn?
Yeah, like, well, Reborn's just an old lady.
Yeah. But
oh, yeah, I want to see the
old, and she's in like heaven or whatever.
Yeah, I want to see the old lady.
She died.
Bring her back. Big game. Anyway.
Anything can happen in big game.
I read Ambassadors. It's pretty good. I just don't know where it's going, but I'm in for the ride. And I also read the Vigil by Rom V.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Did you read it?
I don't have it.
Oh, okay. It's like I like the concept of the first issue where it's, I think it's like a super team that was made in like India.
Yeah.
And the concept of the first issue is that there's like a cargo ship that is taken over by pirates. So like, what was the movie called?
Captain Phillips.
Thank you. I knew you know.
I haven't even seen it.
Yeah. You have it? No. I've seen it like three times.
You've seen Captain Phillips three times?
It's a good movie. I recommend it.
It's just like that was such a big part of pop culture that year. It's like, I am the captain now kind of thing.
Yeah. Good scene.
Worth watching every time.
Yeah. 100%. What was I saying? Oh, the cargo ship got taken over by pirates. And so like this team kind of comes in. The powers are very interesting, actually.
I like the dude with like the sticks.
The dude with the sticks is cool. There's a guy with a mask on, and his power is that he could take off his mask and like scan someone else's face with it. And then he has their face for a little bit.
Okay. So the people like, whose faces are scanned will know about it because he just scanned their face.
Yeah, but you knock him out.
Oh,
and then you're like, I'm a pirate. So it's
like,
you could
just walk like heists.
Yeah.
Only.
And it was great in this situation where they had to
unheist. Any kind of infiltration kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. So pretty good.
Cool.
Probably. I probably won't continue it though.
Damn. Yeah, I would like to. Like, Rand B seems cool, you know, like as like a person. You know, like,
yeah, I think, yeah,
he's based off of me listening to him, you know,
he's like, got great stuff.
Seems like a cool guy. I want to check out his stuff. And yeah, he wrote a comic that I consider perfect, you know,
yeah, 100%.
And so I'm like, let's see what else he's got here. Like, he's done like a ton of shit at DC.
He's done, yeah,
I'd be willing to like give him all like a try, at least, you know.
Yeah, he's done Aquaman with Christian Ward,
right? Was that him?
Yeah, it was him and Christian Ward.
Okay,
that was pretty good. He's done some like Spider-Man. He did some Miles, or maybe that's all Venom.
I think he's on Venom. Venom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
Light of the Star is great. I can't wait for his Indian cuisine one.
And I read Doom Patrol number 2.
I was going to read that today and then it was too far away. So I just read the Vigil instead, but is it good?
It was too far away. Like
it was in like another room and I was on the couch. I was very comfy.
Got to deal with what's in the stack right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Didn't make your priority stack.
No, what I just like picked like the top three things. I was like, I gotta read that.
Yeah, it's good.
The next issue has Green Lantern in it, so I'm pretty excited.
Like there's a character in it that I think is a little gross, but that's okay. And there's like a lot that I like about it.
Just tell me. I will read it next week, but just tell me.
So there's like a character that seems really important, but then it turns out that they're not going to be in the story after this issue. Hmm. And so I was like, oh, that was just like a
short-lived,
not like short-lived, but like, it was just like a misdirect kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we go and see their like headquarters or whatever. It's fucking cool.
The Doom Patrol cave.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
The Doom cave. So that was cool. And then there's like a cameo or kind of like villain kind of character that they're hinting at that I did not expect, which is fun.
Who's it?
No.
Okay. I'll read it.
Yeah, pretty good. I can keep buying it. So that's why I put down Doom Patrol 3. Like, yeah. I'm for the stuff that I'm mostly caught up on, I'll like, and iffy about, I'll like read. I'm like, am I getting the next one? You know? Yeah,
exactly.
And so
I'm doing that for Donna DC stuff.
Like, I'll read the first sucker two. For Doom Patrol though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Did you watch anything?
I've been like kind of, I've been in the room while Sarah's watching House.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an episode where Jeremy Renner is like the patient.
What?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Before he was Jeremy Renner, you know?
Before
like Hurt Locker, you know?
Yeah. Was that his big break?
That was definitely his big break. Yeah.
Really? Okay. I like that
Oscar award winning. Yeah. And he's like a punk rock singer. And it fits so well. And he's like a junkie, you know, And
wasn't he in like Bourne Ultimatum?
He was in the Bourne Legacy, which is like the fourth one.
But he's in one of them.
The fourth one.
But he's the main character in that one, right?
Yeah, not with Matt Damon. That's but why it's Bourne Legacy.
One, isn't he in one with Matt Damon?
No. Well, I don't know. I think I've seen all those, but not at a time where I was paying attention to movies.
Was he in Mission Impossible?
He might have been in like Rogue Nation or something, or Ghost Protocol.
Yeah, Rogue Nation.
I've only seen like two Mission Impossible movies, and that's not one of them, but it was just a guess.
I've seen that one. That one's okay.
Okay.
Can't wait for the next one.
Oh, also, on House. So they have like a scene that sets up like why people are showing up at their hospital, right? And this mom is belaying her daughter.
Oh, God.
At a rock climbing thing, right? And her like hands like freeze up or something. And so the... What's that thingy called that holds you, that you...
The carabiner?
No, is that it? No, the thing that like...
Oh, the thing that like lets you down?
After yeah.
You, I don't know what that's called.
Okay, well, so she lets go of the rope, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing doesn't like lock automatically.
Well, that's
so defective. She just falls. And yikes. Then the rope like comes out of it. And I'm like, this is not accurate because they would definitely be tied at the bottom.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. And also the thing locks.
Yeah.
So it was just like unrealistic.
Tons of safety measures there, but.
And this girl was like 50 feet up and just broke her arm. I'm like, whoa.
I mean, they have pads on the ground.
Somebody. Okay.
What are you going to break?
Everything.
Whatever takes the impact, that's what you're going to break. Maybe you'll dislocate your shoulder.
Neck? I don't know.
Did she fall on her neck?
No.
Sounds like she fell on her arm.
I feel like if you fell on your shoulder really hard, you could break your neck.
From the whiplash?
Yeah.
No, it was a pad.
Or whatever. No, pad's all good. Why don't you jump off the top next time you're up there? Take a vid. But
that's pretty high.
Yeah, so I, like when I was watching that, I was like, this is unrealistic.
Yeah.
Not like this show about these super doctors that know everything. You know?
Yeah, no, that's realistic.
Yeah.
But the way that she gets into the hospital.
That was just something I thought about. Mm-hmm. It was super dumb. Did you watch anything or you just been working on your cosplay?
I've just been working on cosplay stuff.
Okay. Well, I saw a movie called I See You. It's a movie on Netflix. I don't know if it released theatrically or whatever. I don't think it's an original. So it was really good. I liked it a lot. Not that scary.
It was supposed to be a scary movie.
Yeah, it's like kind of set up as like a horror movie. I almost want to recommend it to Sophia, but I think this might be like on the edge.
Okay.
You know, and I know you wouldn't recommend it to her anyway, but it was super good. I liked it a lot. It was, so what happens is like, it's this family in this house. And for the first like 30 minutes to an hour, it's just like them living their lives and some weird things are happening in the house, you know?
Like just randomly,
just random stuff,
kind of like a paranormal activity, kind of like, oh man, the door closed by itself.
It's like the TV turns on for some reason.
Okay, yeah,
their silverware is missing.
Okay,
and just shit like that. And that portion like ends with like their son being like knocked out, and they find him, and then they like take him to the hospital or whatever. And then like the movie like goes back to like the beginning. Right. Like timeline wise. It's okay. Kind of like It's Lonely at the Center of the Earth.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And okay.
And you watch that whole 30 minutes again.
Yeah. Yeah. So during that middle bit, you see someone like in the house, you know, like they're like, oh, there's like an intruder.
Yeah.
You know, and it so when it goes back to the beginning, like in the middle, it shows like this couple who are doing a thing called frogging. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
I don't know if it's a real term, but what they do is they will live in someone's house without them knowing.
That's what the intruders are doing?
Yes.
Okay.
So they're not like...
Do frogs do that?
I don't know. I don't know why it's called frogging. I guess it's
just because they like hop from like, one house to another.
Yeah, like that. And so that's the point, is just live there a couple of days and leave without them ever knowing. You know, they're like homeless people.
They live there?
They like live there for like a couple of days.
Where are they sleeping?
So it's like a big house. So you can kind of like get away with some things. Like there's this like upstairs guest bedroom and there's like a little door that goes into like the attic and they're just kind of chilling in the attic.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
I see.
And so like all the weird shit that's happening in the house is just this couple, right? The girl like frogs has been frogging for a while, and this is like the first time she brought like her boyfriend or whatever.
Okay.
And so the boyfriend's like,
it's pretty new.
Pretty new at it, and he's a little fucked up because he's like trying to mess with like this family, and it does all the weird shit in the house. The twists in this movie are just like kind of insane. I'm prepared to explain it to you if you're ready.
Yeah, real quick.
Yeah, you got someplace to be?
No, I'm just
okay. I'll be as fast as possible.
Be like, yeah, the main
full spoilers for I See You if you are still like listening, I guess.
Yeah.
So the dad is like a cop, right? And he's investigating these like disappearances of like kids. And so they think it's like this old like serial killer who was like kidnapping kids and then like burying them in places.
Pause. The Frogger is a serial killer. He's taking the kids and putting them in the big house.
No.
Okay. That would be cool though. Anyway, keep
going. That would be something. And so there's like a situation where the girlfriend that's frogging is like over it and wants to like leave, you know? And because like her boyfriend like knocked out this kid, you know, okay, from the earlier part. And so she tries to leave, but ends up like falling down some stairs as she's running away. And then the dude like puts her in like one of their cars and then they drive off. Like the dad like drives off.
Oh, like not knowing that she's...
Yeah, that she's in the back of the car.
Oh, that's gross.
Yeah. And so the dad like drives off to like a trailer that has kids locked up in it. And so he's like that serial killer dude.
Whoa, but he's a cop.
Yeah. Oh, and so no. He's just been like misdirecting the police while this investigation's going on because he's like the head detective.
Oh, my God. And then the Frogger is like, oh, my God.
Yeah. And so
how am I going to explain this one?
Yeah. So then they realize that's happening. And then like the girl that was in the trunk, she went and found the trailer. And then like the dad ended up finding her and mm-hmm. knocking her out or whatever. And so he takes her back to his house and shoots her. And then he shoots like himself to frame her.
Whoa.
To leave him innocent.
Yeah.
You know? And what happens is the boyfriend that's still in the house, the boyfriend Frogger, he like ends up killing the dad because he killed his girlfriend.
Yeah.
And also because he was like an old victim of the serial killer.
Oh.
But and he like remembers him, but the dad didn't recognize him because he like grew up, you know? And so that's why he's been like torturing them through this whole thing.
Oh,
is because he was like one of his old victims.
Was it just coincidence that they found each other or?
They say like earlier that he like picked the house for them to frog in.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And so, yeah, it was really cool.
That is cool.
And so his partner comes in and shoots the kid. And then he like looks up and he's like, oh, Officer Spitz or whatever. that's actually his name. And because like he was like a detective that like talked to him and like found him, I guess. I don't mm-hmm. know. And so.
Wait, so the Frogger was a detective?
No, the Frogger knew the other detective.
Okay.
And I think I left out some stuff.
Yeah, probably. But I get the gist. That's pretty cool.
But yeah, no, it was just like, so there's only like a little bit of like horror stuff like the beginning.
It's just more thriller, it seems like.
Yeah, it is more like thriller, mystery kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like so interesting because like...
It seems like the way it develops is very interesting. Yeah,
and then you just kind of everything explained. It's kind of like watching, what's that fucking movie?
Describe it.
It's got Patrick Wilson, and he's a dad. Not The Conjuring, but the other one.
That's the only one I know him from.
It's a horror movie.
The Conjuring 2.
No, it's like something.
Annabelle.
And like the third one, it's like The Lost Key or something.
Taken.
I actually like this movie a lot.
There's three of them?
I think the fourth one's coming out. That Patrick Wilson's going to be directing. It's not Sinister.
Insidious?
Insidious.
Oh,
we said it at the same time.
I got there first.
You almost beat me.
I haven't even seen the movie, so I win.
Okay, so Insidious, it all plays out really good, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the second one, the whole sequel, is just kind of re-going through the first one and kind of explaining everything, like what happens.
Okay.
And so it's like Insidious 1 and 2 in one movie.
Okay, cool.
You should watch those movies. They're really good.
Actually, yeah, that's what I've heard. I won't with
it's
Sophia.
So hard to like just talk to you about horror movies and know you'll never watch them.
Because I only watch movies with Sophie and she doesn't want to watch them, but maybe I'll
after
maybe podcast, we'll have like a movie day.
You should like come over
just go watch a movie
after like podcast day. Like what, it's only like 9 right now. When do you go to bed? You're going to be up for a bit.
Yeah, I will. Yeah.
So you have
maybe
time,
one of these days.
You have time to watch a movie.
Pick a movie. We'll do one a month. One every 2 months after the pod.
One every 2 months after the pod?
Yeah, you pick it.
Ooh, fucking, what's that one? Malignant? That James Wan horror movie?
That's the one you're going to go with?
You're going to fucking love it.
Okay.
Because right. I loved it.
Fine, we'll do it.
Sarah fucking hated it. And that's how you know it's good.
Okay. These are both rousing reviews.
It's all horror movies. And then we'll watch Barbarian after that. Maybe Terrifier. It's how we feel.
Okay.
But anyway.
They don't have to be horror movies. They'll just be any movie. No, just you force me to watch.
Horror movies that you are not allowed to see.
Okay.
We're going to watch. We're gonna
no, you can't see it. You're going to have nightmares.
We're going to want you to dread going home because all the fun movies are here.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, that's the show. What are we going to watch?
What are we going to read next week, Dylan? We're going to read Spider-Men.
Yeah.
Because we don't, because it's Spider-Verse, but we don't want to read Spider-Verse. It's kind of long, I guess.
What do you mean? There's a book called Spider-Verse?
Are you kidding me?
I know there's books, but like good ones? I read like a 5-issue mini that was called Spider-Verse. It was all right.
Yeah, there's the original one was like a Dan Slott one as part of his like Amazing Spider-Man run.
Oh, long?
Apparently, it's like 12 issues or something, I think in total.
Too
but
long.
There's Spider-Men, which is where Miles and Peter meet for the first time in 616 by Brian Michael Bendis, Sarah Pacelli. So we're going to read that.
I bet she just does covers.
No, she does the interiors.
Oh, yeah.
I read the book. Long time ago.
No.
It came out in 2013. I probably read it in like 2015. So it's been a long time.
Ooh, Comixology Unlimited.
Oh, is it? This is big, yes, big sir. News. Big news. So yeah, that's what we're going to read next week.
107 pages. Sign me up, dude.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, the one I saw was like 127 or something, but yeah, good stuff. Should be a good time. Thanks everybody for listening. If you're listening, give it a watch. Give us a like as well. Whatever you're doing.
Tell us what to read at traderspot@gmail.com.
Yeah, I could tell you're trying to like
tell us
in
what
with
horror
something.
Movies Nathan should watch.
Yeah, that's a good point. I haven't seen any good ones. I haven't seen like Nope yet.
I would like go that. Watch Nope. That's a good one.
Yeah. So.
I'd almost recommend that to Sophia too, but there was like some parts where I like almost shit myself. You know what I mean? But there's only like a couple of those.
I'll have to try and force her to watch more. I think she could handle more than she thinks.
Yeah. I don't get how she loves like roller coasters, but not like some scary movies.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because that shit's like real life.
Roller coasters?
You could die. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. That's yeah. I think something like I See You, what was it called?
I See You.
I See You. Would really freak her out because she's like, there's people in our walls, and I'm like,
yeah,
we're fine.
The whole intruder thing, it definitely fucks with me, but this one didn't seem that bad.
Yeah,
but anyway, thanks for watching.
Yep,
bye.